Luke chapter 17, your Bible, is a wonderful joy to be back at Worth Baptist Church, Fort Worth, and be with my dear friend, Brother Earl Sides, and his wife. He left me. Where'd he go? And there he is. Be Brother Earl, and Brother Earl and I talk weekly and share devotions weekly, and he is a dear, dear, dear friend to me, and I thank God for him. And I had a man that I was very close to for many, many years from Bible college forward, and he passed away, and Brother Earl was just right there at the perfect time and said, Brother Ben, I want to be your friend, and he has been that, and thank you, Brother Earl and Miss Nikki, and we love your boys, and just every moment we can spend together, we surely enjoy that. Also love the fact that you have an addiction recovery class for these many years. Thank the Lord for your bridge to recovery. Wendy and I had the privilege to have a little part in putting those books together. And Wendy had a big part. I got to get it clear there. Wendy had a big, big part. And she had to put up with what Earl and I wrote. And she did a great job. And the curriculum is being used of the Lord in many, many places now. How many of you remember Brother Scott Cowling here just a few weeks ago? Brother Scott, yeah, he's a dear friend. And thank you for having the ministry here and helping people. And I want to encourage you as a church family, when you see people struggle, when you see people out and about, when you have your own family members that have addictions and problems, be bold. You know, just don't just walk around acting like the pink elephant's not in the room. It is in the room. And people need the Lord. People need help. People need a right relationship with the Lord. And there's a program here that can help them. Actually, there's a Jesus here that can help them. And but the program's going to point them to the Lord. And so there are tracts back there. There are flyers back there. And I want to encourage you to let this be a reset Sunday of that particular ministry. I spent all day yesterday, well, all morning yesterday with the team of workers here, my wife and I, training, retraining, and encouraging them. And we were encouraged by the class on Friday night and what the Lord has been doing here for many, many years. And thank the Lord for their faithfulness. And I will tell you, they need some help. You know, they have a need for some nursery workers. They have a need for some children workers. And you say, I can't do that every Friday night. Okay, could you do it once a month? You say, why are you pausing? Because I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. That's why. And if you could help out once a month, you have no idea how much it would help them. Amen? If you could help, maybe you got a CDL license. If just once a month, the leadership team could do something else by greeting visitors who are coming on the property with you going to get some folks and bringing them back. It won't take long. Maybe God will use you for that. There are many, many ways to get involved. It's one of the best ways to get involved to see lives changed and see lives transformed. In fact, this morning, go ahead and put that first slide up. I want to talk to you about the subjects. Are you one of them? I never forget my wife and I were in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we visited a church, big fancy church. We were not speaking there. We just visited. And they had gotten word that the church was looking at starting a program. And my wife and I was there, and some people we knew from way back walked up and began to talk to us. And they said, oh, well, what are you guys doing now? And we told them. And they said, oh, you're working with those people? You know how many times over the years where people come in from the outside with stubborn habits and addictions, and church people get the attitude that, oh, those people. And I want to preach a sermon this morning. I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. And so are you if you know that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered your sin and removed your sin. Thank God I am one of them. Amen. And our hearts need to be refreshed this morning. And the reset button needs to be pushed again this morning. And we're going to talk about 10 lepers that wanted to be healed. And the Lord simply told him, okay, go see the priest. And as they began to walk, they were healed. But one of them turned around and said, what in the world am I doing? What do I need a priest for? I got him. Amen. Maybe that's a good question for 2025. What in the world do you need a priest for? You got Jesus. That's who we need. And so with the Bible open, Luke chapter number 17, and it came to pass, verse number 11, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is not the only time the Lord went to Samaria. In fact, I think it was one of his favorite fishing holes. I think he loved going to Samaria. The mixed group of people there, the folks that were the worst of the worst in many cases. A woman there by the well, we remember that story. Well, here he is again toward the end of his ministry, and he's going by Samaria, verse 12. And as he enters into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, underline those words in your Bible to remember this sermon by, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Worth Baptist Church. In many ways, she's a model church. In many ways, I believe this church has for decades stood for the truth of God's word, preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How thankful I am for the 3 pastors that have overseen this church as the under shepherd. And we're praying right now for Dr. Barber, Lord, and these days that we see complications, but we know your grace is greater than all that. And we're thankful for Brother Jill and his family, Lord, and how encouraged I am week after week to go online and listen to what he has to say from God's word. He's a mentor to me, and I thank the Lord for Pastor Jill, and I pray you'd be with him and his family today in a special way. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. I pray that we'll hear what you have to say to us. And I pray that we will hurt from the conviction that you place on us, but we will remember that it's nothing compared to the hurt that Jesus went through for our sins. And I pray that we'll be helped and healed through the repentance and turning from wrong to right in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We all know in the Bible, this thing of leprosy is a picture of sin in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. There's one famous passage that says that all of our unrighteousness are filthy as rags. A visual illustration in the Old Testament of a couple of things. One I will not discuss in public company, but the other I will. And that is in these leprosy colonies, they would have posts or fences, and they would find old rags on the they would have blown across the desert, or somebody would drop some off for them, and they would tie them to the fence post, and this leprosy would have open sores and pus and blood, and they would walk by and they would clean that pus and blood off with a clean part of the rag, and they'd go their way into that leprosy colony. But the next guy would come along and use that same bath towel, would use that same rag. And over time, you can imagine how difficult it would be to find a clean spot, to find an uninfected spot. And they would use that same garment. They would use that same rag. And the Bible says our sins is just as filthy as that rag is. And so there's a lot of similarities in the Bible concerning leprosy and sin. You know, sin starts off small and it grows. The same way leprosy starts little. You don't even see it. It's on the inside, but it shows up on the outside. For out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart comes adultery and fornication and wickedness and lying and on and on and on, the Bible says. It's not just what we do out here. It's what's going on in here. We're sinners. We're born that way. It's like a disease. It starts small. Nobody has to teach my grandbabies to sin. Now, my wife does not believe they sin. She's going to realize that real soon when we go visit here in a few weeks. And they are pretty perfect, but they're not. Because we're all born with a sin nature, are we not? It's all been passed down. Not only has it been passed down, we participated in and of ourselves. We've all gone away. We've all done what we want to have and do what we want to do and be what we want to be. It starts out small and grows. It spreads and corrupts over time. I mean, it's highly contagious. In fact, there's a unique thing about leprosy is there are laws in the Old Testament. We'll look at one today. There's laws in the Old Testament where isolation was demanded. They could not go home once they were declared leprosy. They could not be with their family. They could not be in with touching distance of any normal person. They were isolated to an area outside the camp, outside the city, and that's the only area they were allowed to go in until there was a cleansing, and then the only place they could go was to the priest. They couldn't go buy food. They couldn't go visit somebody. They were confined alone. And that's what sin does to you and I. It isolates us. It pulls us away from people. We do in the dark what we wouldn't do in the light. Sin is awful. Leprosy is awful, and the picture is clear in God's word. It destroys sensitivity. Over time, leprosy has now moved from the foot to the hand. And now fingers are falling off or toes are falling off. And it spreads throughout the body. And it brings disfigurement. It brings shame. And that's what the Bible says about us concerning our sin. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of blindness of their heart. It destroys sensitivity. Not only feel anything anymore. And people today, when conviction, the word of God comes, and conviction comes, they run from it. They hide from it. They wear some label so they don't have, oh, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to listen to that. And there are all kinds of new techniques for people not to feel the hurt of conviction. But I want to remind you, as I did in my prayer, conviction, just that hurt you experience is nothing compared to the cross that the Lord went through for your sins and my sins so we could be saved. Amen. Oh, leprosy, such a picture. Such a picture. It requires cleansing. Maybe they had heard of the one individual early in the scriptures that were healed from leprosy. Maybe they had heard somebody that was blind that now could see. Maybe they had heard somebody that couldn't walk now walks. And maybe they had always talked about if Jesus were to pass by. If Jesus were to pass by, boy, we'd say, have mercy on us, help us. And I'm telling you, Jesus passes by Worth Baptist Church week after week. He's here today, and he passes by to help you today. Amen. And here we have a story. This leprosy, not only do these people have the same condition, but these 10 men have the same cry. The same cry. Master, have mercy on us. They also not only have the same condition and the same cry, but they all have the same compliance. Look at verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest, and it shall come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I don't know. I honestly have thought about this and dreamed about this. 10 men leaning against the fence, they see him. Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. And all of a sudden says, okay, go see the priest. Do what I tell you, go see the priest. Now, way before they ever go see the priest, I mean, they got to have some evidence here. But those 10 guys, I don't know if the first one that came back, I don't know if he's the one that led the group. All I know is somebody took the first step. And all 10 of them must have thought, if he's going, I'm going. And all of a sudden, they in unison, they all walk toward Jerusalem to go see the priest. And as they walk, the flesh begins to change on the outside. But before things begin to change on the outside, there was a change going on the inside. And they were healed. Every step, there was change. Every step, there was something different happening that brings them back to normalcy. And baby-like skin. Man, pretty soon you can just see they ain't walking anymore. They're running. They're going home. They're going to see the priest. They're going to go home to mama. They're going to see their kids. They're going to see their mom and dad. I'm going, man, alive. I'm healed. And one of them turned back to go to the one that healed them. I want to say something about that, if I might, this morning. Not only did they have the same condition and the same cry and the same compliance, and not only did all of them get cleansed, but I want to make this statement. Some people receive the benefits of Christ, but not Christ in those benefits. Let me say that again. Some people in the Bible and some people in 2025 receive the benefits of Christ, but they do not receive Christ in those benefits. I do not expect, based on just this testimony, this writing, to see those 10 men in heaven. I will see one, according to that passage. Because there was only one that was made whole. Because all of them received some benefits from Christ, but not all of them received Christ in their benefit. There are many other stories in the Bible like this. Remember the man that had been laying beside the pool of Bethesda year after year after year after year, waiting for somebody to put him in? And that man, when Jesus walked by, he had all the excuses ready. But Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. He received the benefits of Christ. He was able to walk. But in that passage, when you continue to read, you find nowhere that that man got saved. There's a difference between receiving the blessings of God and actually knowing for sure when you die that you're going to go to heaven. There's a lady I was out soul winning with one day and knocked on the door. The elderly lady, she came to the door and she said, I told her who I was and what church I was visiting from. And I said, ma'am, do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? Oh, yes, Jesus has been so good to me. I said, man, that's not what I asked you. Do you know for sure if you died? Oh, man, he is so good to me. You got to see my garden in the back and look at my rose bushes and look how God has been so good to me. And come to find out, that woman believed God had been good to her, but she was not born again. And that day she got saved. Amen. Maybe you're here today. Maybe there's somebody got here today. Man, you live in America. You had godly parents in a Christian home. But look, that ain't got nothing to do with you going to heaven. You must be born again. Stacy, would you come up here and help me for a minute? He's looking at me like, Stacy, right? Huh? Yeah, would you come up here and help me? And now that I still couldn't hear your name from back there, tell me your name.
Casey.
Casey, got it. Casey. He's like, man, I didn't even know he knew my name. You can thank Brother Earl for that, all right? Open that bag up there. I love giving this illustration. This is a bag. And say your name again.
Casey.
We're all born with a bag, okay? You know, a lot of people look on the outside, but it's really what's on the inside. And on the inside, there's a record. And that record talks about all the good things and all the bad things you've ever done, okay? And we came to life, we got a bag being accumulated. And in that bag, Casey, there's some things that you've done that you shouldn't have done. Some things you've said you shouldn't have said. And some places you've gone you shouldn't have gone. Let's discuss those, okay? But Casey, if you're like anybody else, we start feeling bad about those things. And man, we start getting in trouble with our boss or getting in trouble with our wife. Well, we've done that before. And getting in trouble with leadership. And so we try to do good things. We think if I could do enough good things, that way the bad things, I'll be all right. But that doesn't change the fact that there's bad in the bag. There's sin in the bag. There's this leprosy in the bag. There's this problem that's going to grow and grow and that's going to have a judgment day one day. And it's in the bag. It's in the bag. And Casey, in order for people to understand the good news, they got to understand the bad news. The wages of sin is death. This disease called sin that we have, this problem that we have, these steps that we've taken in the wrong direction is going to lead to a place called hell, separated from God forever and forever and forever. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, Casey, there's somebody else that came to earth to get a bag. And that somebody else is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he came here, God, took on flesh down here. God in the flesh, his name is Jesus. And he died. He lived a perfect life, 33 and a half years. And in him was no sin. The only thing in him was righteousness. 100% holy, righteous, acceptable to God. Amen. He who knew no sin, however, 33 and a half years later, became sin for us. He took on all of the penalty and payment for our sins on a cross called Calvary. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And everyone that understands that they're a sinner and there's nothing they can do or anyone else can do to save them except the Savior, and there's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. And everyone that believes that he is God, he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and they call on him, they repent from believing they're a sinner and saying, I need a Savior. And they trust the Lord as their Savior. That moment that transaction takes place is when God takes and gives you, he takes all your sin and he gives you all of his righteousness. Amen. He takes your account and gives you his account. He takes all your good things that you thought you did, which is nothing more than filthy rags. And he takes that and he gives you all that he is there. Amen. Now, Casey, you know, When did you do that? Have you ever been saved?
Yes, sir.
When did you get saved?
When I was 28 years old.
28 years old. How old are you now?
40.
40. 28 to 40. Should I ask him if he sinned after he got saved 28, or should I ask his wife?
I'll admit I have. Don't ask her.
We've all sinned, right?
Yes, sir.
As a Christian, we sin. Where does your sin go when you sin?
Into that bag that's already been
packed. Yeah, he got it right, didn't he? It goes in your bag. But who's got your bag? Jesus does. You're not defined by your sin of the past. You're defined by his righteousness when you get saved. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. He removed all of my sin. What a Savior. Amen. I am one of them that he saved. And so are you. Because your sin's no worse or better than their sin. Sin had to be paid for. Every one of them. On the cross called Calvary. Amen? Thank you, brother. Let me have my Bible back. I want you to take your Bible just for a moment. And I want to show you one place in the Old Testament, and we'll be done. Look, if you will, at Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14. There's one place in Leviticus that I want to help us with. In Leviticus 14, verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be bought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of the leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and a cedar of wood and scarlet and hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times. And shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. One bird was sacrificed in the blood, and took the blood and the water, mixed it together, took hyssop, applied it to the second bird, and the bird was symbolically let go, symbolizing cleansing and restoration. The sparrow's role there was symbolic of freedom, restoration, purification. That individual now could return to his community, return to his home, return to his kids. But where do they get the birds from? I'll tell you where they get the birds from. I've been to the bazaar when I went to Israel. Anybody been to the bazaar in Israel? It is bizarre, I want to tell you. They sell all kinds of stuff in the bazaar. And you walk through the bazaar, and they do everything they can to lower the prices and give you a deal, a wheel of a deal, so you'll walk away with their merchandise, and they'll take from you gladly your American money, and you'll be on your way. And Jesus talks about this place 2 times in the New Testament. The first time in the Bible that he walks through the bazaar, maybe the same occasion, but just a different spot. Because the first time he walks through, he hears, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? So somewhere the Lord realized that the going rate for two sparrows was one farthing. What's the going rate for two birds? One farthing. But he gets down the road just a little bit further, and another vendor, he says in another passage, that there are five birds for two farthing. Five birds. Think about that. Two for one, five for two. Now, if you have two, you really ought to get four birds, but there's another one that's thrown in. There's another bird that's like an extra bird, an insignificant bird, an overlooked bird, a trivial bird, an unimportant bird, an easily dismissed bird. And in both of those passages, God reminds you and God reminds me, his children, that if he sees a sparrow fall and it doesn't go unnoticed, how much more does he value you? How much more does he love you? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you get saved, the love of the Father and the title that he's given to you and who you are in Christ is absolutely precious. Amen. He loves you. You're more valuable, he says. Not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than the extra bird thinking or the insignificant thinking or the overlooked thinking that our frail minds give us from time to time, thinking, man, they left me out. They didn't invite me. They left me out. I was unimportant. You're not unimportant to God. He loves you. And that's where our attention ought to be anyway. Amen. Oh, how much he loves you and me. You're precious in his sight. You're cherished. You hold great value. You're treasured by the Almighty. You are deeply loved by God. Now I want to give you quickly. It's going to be up on the screen. You'll see it quickly. I want to tell you why this boy turned around and came back. And if you're one of them, I pray one of these reasons will spark something in our hearts to leave here saying, I'm one of them. Are you? You know the greatest thing is not going to heaven. The greatest thing is taking somebody with you. Amen? Amen? Maybe walk up to people and say that, hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. But that's not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is for me to be able to take somebody with me, and I'd love to see you go with me. Are you going to heaven when you die? Now, look, I want to give you the three reasons. Put them up on the screen. Number one, what made this man come back? Number one, he recognized the compassion Jesus had for him and nine others. Oh, there ought to be something at Worth Baptist Church, the compassion that Jesus has shown to the people in this room when they're in sin and he saves their soul, or when they get old and he takes care of them, and the good hand of God and the goodness of God. There ought to be a compassion that's recognizable, and we ought to be able to declare gloriously and with a loud voice and with loud singing, I am one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. My mother-in-law just went into permanent care in a facility, 80-some years old. And our schedule, we were just reflecting, because as an evangelist, we're gone a lot. But there was a need to get back home to get meals ready for her so we could go back out. And so it was back and forth a lot. And then I looked at my schedule, and there'd be blanks for week after week. And my wife and I would look at each other, because we knew God wants us home for some reason. And during that time, my mother-in-law fell. And during that time, my mother-in-law had heart problems. And during that time, I realized God was greater than me, and God knows more than I know, and he knows where I need to be, when I need to be there, and what I need to be doing. Amen. And divine intervention, knowing you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. There's nothing like that, Christian. There's nothing like that. And there ought to be a heart inside of you of compassion and gratitude of what he's done for others, he'll do for you. And we ought to today proclaim with a loud voice, I am one of them. Number two, let me give you the second one. He recognized the change that Christ had made. I mean, it wasn't but a few steps, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, they begin to notice. They begin to feel it on the inside. They begin to see it on the outside. And I'm telling you, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. While they were walking, they were cleansed. God's still in the changing business. Amen. God is still in the changing lives business. And that ought to be a reason why we ought to proclaim more boldly in 2025 in this space of grace that God has given to us in America. We ought to leave here and do our part. And our part is to proclaim, I'm one of them. I belong to Jesus. Amen. Number three. Thirdly, I see in our text, not only he recognized the compassion and he recognized the change, but number three, he rejoiced in the closeness that Christ gave to him and one of them. He thought, what in the world do I want to go see the priest for? He's the one that just made me whole. If he has the power to do that, he has the power to save me. Amen. And that boy had a change of heart, and he turned, recognizing, I need to get back to him. He's the one I can get close to. He's the one I can have a relationship with. And he went and fell down on his face before him. And the Lord says, man, thy faith has made thee whole. Go on home. Amen. Go on home. Thank God for the closeness we can have in the Lord. That's true worship. Being in the presence of Christ, getting into the presence of Christ at Worth Baptist Church. I'll close with this illustration. I'll be done. I went to Bible college in 1984, and the first roommate I ever met in Bible college of those years I was there, the first one was Jeff Johnson. And Jeff comes in the room, and I said, hi, my name's Ben Burks from Lynchburg, Virginia. And he shook my hand. He says, my name's Jeff Johnson. I'm from Walkertown, North Carolina. I said, I've been to your church. I know where you're from, Bobby Robertson. And we started talking a little bit. And I had cowboy boots and cowboy hat on because that was the theme for the day. And I was the real Texan then. And anyway, so we shook hands and we talked a little bit. And Jeff says, Ben, why don't we get on our knees here and pray and ask the Lord to bless us this year at our college. And I knelt down and Jeff Johnson says, dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for September 10th, 1977, the day I got saved. And prayed a prayer. That didn't catch my attention. But that night, all of us in the room got on our knees and were praying together. And I heard Jeff say, dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for September 10th, 1977. Every time Jeff prayed, every time. I never heard the man pray without starting his prayer saying, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for September 10th, 1977. In fact, at his funeral, I asked his wife, I says, does Jeff know how to pray any other way besides September? She laughed. She said, yeah, he did it around here a little bit different. But normally, the first thing he always did was thank God for his salvation. He kind of rubbed off on me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. I am one of them. And so are you. And somehow we got to get our mouth in gear, and we got to get our life in gear, not based on our bag, but based on the one that he gave us. And with his help, we can boldly and loudly and gloriously proclaim, I'm one of them. Let's stand together Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's somebody in the room that would say, Brother Burks, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not like Casey. I can't tell you a date and time or a place. And I feel that conviction on the inside letting me know there's something pressing on the inside telling me I'm not sure if I die, I go to heaven. If that's true of you, without embarrassing you, would you slip your hand up right now so I can pray for you? Anyone at all? Brother Brooks, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? We've already had a couple people. Yes, sir, I see that hand. We've already had a couple people saved this morning. I thank God for that. Anybody else? I see that one hand. Anybody else? Raise your hand so I can see it. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't want to be embarrassed, but I sure would like your prayer and help. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody else? God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation, but before we do, if you raise your hand, if you understand that you're a sinner, you understand that it'll cause separation from God forever. And you believe that Jesus took care of your problem, sin. And you want to call on him right now. with your head bowed and eye closed, would you pray and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I believe God came down here and lived perfectly. He died and was buried and rose again for my sin. And right now, I call on him to become my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you just did that in the quietness of this moment, can I rejoice? Can I be the first to rejoice with you? Would you give me that privilege by slipping your hand up right now saying, I just prayed. I just called the Lord, asked the Lord to save me. I see that hand back there. Is there somebody else? There's one. Raise your hand. Is there anyone else? I'm looking on my right, your left. Is there anybody on my right? I'm looking on my left, your right. Is there anybody on my right? My left. Anyone at all? I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. In just a moment, we're going to have invitation time. With the same boldness that man that turned around and went back, would you meet me down here at the altar? I'll be right down here on the front row. My wife will be with me. We'd love to shake your hand and give you some information to help you in your next steps. Christian, if you're here today, could we just find a place at the altar and thank the Lord that you're one of them? Get rid of our cynical attitudes. Get rid of our lackadaisical, oh, just burning our hearts. We are one of them. And how grateful we are for it. And let's worship him during this invitation song this morning.